Welcome to The Word in 10, a podcast from Dwell Community Church. My name is Chris Risley, and I'd like to share with you from the book of Deuteronomy at the very end. This is from Deuteronomy 34 on the death of Moses. We read in verses 1 through 4, "Then Moses went up to Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab and climbed Pisgah Peak, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead as far as Dan, all the land of Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah extending to the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev, the Jordan Valley with Jericho, the city of palms as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have now allowed you to see it with your own eyes, but you will not enter the land.'" Now, from a human standpoint, this could feel really defeating. Moses took the people all the way to the edge of the promised land, not once, but twice, and then was told he wasn't going to go in. But a few points to consider. One is that Abraham lived in the promised land, but never owned a single piece of it. He lived there as a foreigner and an exile. So as much as Moses desired to enter, others who lived there saw unfulfillment in other ways. Also, Moses was not going to enter the earthly promised land, but he knew he was going to heaven. So it's not like he was disappointed with his life when he got to heaven. Hebrews 11:13 says, "All of these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." You know, in this limited life, there are many good goals and desires that we just won't see fulfilled on earth. And what God wants to do is turn your disappointment into anticipation. There's a famous hymn writer from the 1800s by the name of Fanny Crosby who lost her sight as an infant, either due to illness or due to the wrong medication. And we read about an encounter that she had with a well-intentioned minister. The minister said to her, "I think it's a great pity that the master, when he showered so many gifts upon you, did not give you sight." Mrs. Crosby replied, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition to my Creator, that it would have been that I should be born blind?" The minister asked, "Why?" And she replied, "Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." There are many good things that I pray for in this life that the Lord will not give me, but that doesn't mean that I'm never going to receive those things. It means that a lot of the things that I long for, I will not receive until heaven, and so I can look forward to that time. Another encouraging point to consider, as Moses is not allowed to go into the promised land, is that he's one of the most faithful servants in the entire Bible, and he also fell short. He wasn't allowed to enter because of a public outburst of anger in which he condemned the Israelites. And that's encouraging to me because I've been following God for almost 30 years now, and I want so badly to be faithful. And yet I see so many areas in which I fall short. It's encouraging to me that when we turn to the scriptures, every other servant of God falls short in some way, that there's not a single person who just earns acceptance from God. It's all by grace. And we see that with Moses as well. The passage goes on in verse 5. "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, just as the Lord had said. The Lord buried him in a valley, but to this day, no one knows the exact place. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyesight was clear and he was as strong as ever." Moses died, but of course, that was not the end for him. Death for Christians is just a relocation. We go from an earthly life to a heavenly one. I've heard it described, death is closing our eyes in this world and opening them in the next. Moses didn't know as much as we know today. We have the promise that Jesus defeated death from passages like 1 Corinthians 15. We have the record of Jesus standing to greet his servant Stephen as Stephen was martyred in Acts 7. We can say, like Paul in 2 Timothy 4, that the end of our life is like finishing a marathon or setting sail for our final journey. And yet Moses was convinced that he was going to heaven. And so I really appreciate this quote from Randy Alcorn's book, Heaven. He writes, "I've often read at memorial services this depiction of a believer's death. I'm standing on the seashore. A ship at my side spreads her white sails to the morning breeze and starts for the blue ocean. She's an object of beauty and strength, and I stand and watch her, until at length she hangs like a speck of white cloud just where the sea and the sky come down to mingle each other. And then I hear someone at my side saying, "There, she's gone." Gone where? Gone from my sight, that is all. She is just as large in mast and hull as she was when she left my side, and just as able to bear her load of living freight to the place of destination. Her diminished size is in me, not in her. And just at the moment when someone at my side says, "There, she's gone," there are other eyes watching her coming, and there are other voices ready to take up the glad shout, "Here she comes." And that is dying. Moses didn't know as much as we know today, but he was with the Lord, and I don't think he was the least bit afraid to die. Death for a believer is something we can and should look forward to, as something we should anticipate. And the Lord buried him. God didn't want a grave that people could go and worship. There was no memorial spot for Moses. In fact, the very next verse says, "Now Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, so the people of Israel obeyed him." So Moses was gone, but God was making it clear, "I've brought him home, and the work continues." And then we get this evaluation. In verse 10, it says, "There has never been another prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. The Lord sent him to perform all the miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants in his entire land. With mighty power, Moses performed terrifying acts in the sight of all Israel." This is beautiful because this is God's assessment of Moses' life. Moses never tells us what he thought of his life, but you get a good sense of it if you read Exodus 3 through 4, where God calls Moses. And Moses also wrote about his early experiences. You know, his first attempt to serve God at age 40 meant that he murdered a man and then was rejected by the Israelites. He fled in fear after that and hid in the wilderness for 40 years. He named his first son Gershom, which means, "I am a foreigner in a foreign land." He tried to serve, it didn't work, and so now he just felt lost. By the time God called him at age 80, Moses didn't think he was useful for anything, for leadership, for speaking the truth, for serving the Israelites. And then he tried, and he made so many mistakes, and was not able to convince the Israelites to enter into the promised land the first time. You know, we talked at the beginning how after another 40 years at the age of 120, God told him he wouldn't enter the promised land. So if you were to ask Moses, "Was your life successful?" I'm not sure what he would say. But here's God's evaluation of Moses. Moses was used by God to stand up to Pharaoh. Moses was used by God to perform miracles. Moses knew God face to face, and there has never been another prophet like Moses. He was not superseded until Jesus. If you faithfully serve God and build your relationship with him, he has your own evaluation on your life. And so we don't need to worry about how successful our life looks here on earth. We don't need to worry about what other people would say, whether we were successful or not. What you need to do is concern yourself with faithfulness. Because when you get to the end of time, you're going to find that God's evaluation is the only thing that matters. And there's also the wonderful truth that we do not need to be afraid of death, that we can look forward to that moment where we pass out of this world into the next and stand face to face with God and see what it is that he thinks of us and receive all of the praise that he has stored up for us. So thanks for joining us today. If you are interested in more resources like this, visit dwellcc.org.